Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Watch the Super Bowl, not for a good game, not because their team that they follow is in the Super Bowl, but they do it for the commercials. They can't tell you about much what's going on, but it's the cultural thing to do. It is the largest watched or the highest watched anything in all of the states on TV every year, not because there's that many football fans, but because it is the cultural thing to do. There's a lot of people who say they are a Christian, say they are a believer, and might even say they are a follower of Jesus Christ, but they've never had a real encounter with Jesus, but instead their mom and them have had an encounter. And can I encourage you and let you know that your mom is not going to stand before God and talk about you. Your mom is going to talk about everything she's done, and then you and I will have to stand there by ourselves, and God will judge us not according to them, but according to each person's own faith and merit. Number two, we talked about the social fans. These are the people that look at sporting events as social occasions. The fan is always looking for fun, but followers always find freedom. There's a lot of followers that quit following because it's not fun. There's a lot of things in your life that discipline, that take discipline, that are not fun. When it comes to following Jesus, it is not always going to be easy, church. It is not always going to be fun, but I promise you it will be worth it. Let me say that again. It will not always be easy, church. It will not always be fun. It is fun a lot of the time, but it won't always be fun, but it will always be worth it. I don't think any believer gets to the end of their life and says, I went to too much church. I prayed too much. I believed too hard. I had too much faith. There's the old saying that I would rather be wrong about everything I believe than to not believe and be wrong. Because at the end of the day, if everything that we preach is not true, which it is, I would rather live a life of discipline, a life of good, a life of love, a life of giving, a life of sowing, than to hope that I am right at the end and not do anything with it. I am not a social fan. I am a follower. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. Then we have the super fans. They know everything to know about their team. They are filled with so much information, but they lack revelation. Their heads are filled with information, but they lack revelation, which means they lack application. Superfans can tell you much about the church, but they never become a part of the church, or aka the body of Christ. Remember this, the Bible doesn't tell us to fill our minds with information. It says that we have our minds are transformed by the renewing of our minds. You are transformed not by filling your head with information. You are transformed by the renewal of the Word of God in your life on a daily basis. And we left off talking about fair weather fans, aka bandwagon fans. This fan only supports the team when they're winning and everything is going perfectly. But the moment opposition shows up, their team starts losing or they make a trade, they bounce and hop on the next bandwagon. Can I encourage you that times will not always be perfect? Can I encourage you that valleys are going to show up, because between every mountaintop is a valley? There is going to come times when storms show up in your life. But realize that no matter what is going on around you, no matter what you are involved in this moment, that God has an appointment for you on the other side of that storm, on the other side of this valley, and you are not called to be a fair weather fan. You are called to be a faithful follower of Jesus, and that means where you go, Jesus, I will follow you. Even when it gets hot, I will follow you. If it puts me in the fiery furnace, I will follow you, because I know you will be there with me. If it puts me in the middle of a hurricane on a boat with 11 disciples who are negative and faithless, I will follow you. If you ask me to come out on the water during the storm, I will follow you. I'm not a fair weather fan. I am in this for the long haul. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, doesn't matter. I said yes to you, Jesus, for better or for worse. Number five, some new material. We talk about casual fans. This fan does not follow the team. They might know the best player's last name. They might own a jersey. They might have been to a game once or twice, but they definitely do not keep up with what the team is accomplishing. A casual fan is defined as a fan without serious intention. Casual means without emotional intimacy. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and your life be void of intimacy. Say, what does that mean? And I know when we start talking about intimacy and intimate, I know, number one, the men are already sweating bullets right now. I know that when we hear that word intimate and intimacy, our mind goes to cultural definitions of that word. But when I hear intimacy with God, I'm thinking of times of worship. I'm thinking of times where God's presence becomes so thick that nothing else matters. I'm talking about when God speaks a word specifically to me about my situation and the strongholds and the struggles that I am going through. And I say, God, I thank you that with everything going on in this world, you chose to have an intimate moment with me. While I was breaking down, you stepped in. While I was thinking about quitting, you spoke a word into my life. That's why during worship, when you see people start coming to the altar, why are they coming to an altar? For many reasons. They're coming to an altar because I believe that when we take physical steps, that it matches and parallels what is going on in the spiritual. That God, I'm going to make a faith move today. But you know why I step to the front a lot? It's not because the worship team asked me to. It's not necessarily because I'm going through hell. Sometimes I step up a little closer so that I'm not distracted by anything else that's going on in the room. I'm having an intimate moment with my God. And when I have an intimate moment with him, he has an intimate moment with me. And can I tell you this, church? In intimacy, God can do more in 60 seconds or in 5 minutes than it would take us 60 days or 5 years to do. Those intimate moments. Intimacy between two people that have a relationship is never uncomfortable. I'm about to go there. But when you get intimate with total strangers, there's moments where it becomes uncomfortable. We're going to go there. I see in the movies when people have one-night stands that the guy or the girl, whoever doesn't live in the apartment, tries to wake up and gather all of their clothes and sneak out because they got what they wanted, but they don't want a relationship. They just want to have an intimate moment that feeds the physical. But they do not want to build and pour into and make a relationship. I am here to encourage somebody today to quit treating God like a one-night stand. Quit coming in on Sunday and having an intimate moment with God and then gathering your things and leaving on Sunday at 12:30 and living like hell for the rest of the week because you had a moment with God. Because true intimacy will lead to more intimacy. And if you get intimate enough, guess what happens? A baby shows up. Some of us are void of babies, are void of fruit, are void of the things that God wants to bring through us because we want to be a fan of his that will be intimate for a moment but not intimate for a lifetime. I want to encourage people in the room today. It's not a Wednesday expression or a Sunday expression. Can I say this before Easter Sunday? It's not about Easter Sunday putting on your best clothes and coming once a year and getting intimate with God and shaking your fist saying he is alive. I say he's alive every day. Maybe not those words, but guess what? When I talk to him every day, I'm declaring he is alive. When I'm intimate with the Holy Spirit every day, I'm declaring he's alive. When I declare his word, I praise, I worship him, I talk to him, I'm declaring he's alive. This is not casual. This is intimate. This is intimate. That's why I love coming to a church that we've got our schedule and we've got our agenda and our program and what we're wanting to get through. And Mario sends it to me every service and every weekend. Hey, this is the schedule of what we're going to do. But I love what he's always said. But whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do, that's what we're going to do. God, these are my plans, but Lord, wreck my plans if you want to have an intimate moment that lasts longer than 20 minutes of worship, that lasts longer than 20 minutes of word. God, if you want to be intimate with me, I am here for all of it. I don't want to get too plain, but I do know that the longer you are married and the closer you get and the more comfortable you get, the less intimate you might be because you get comfortable. When was the last time you were intimate with God like that day he saved you? Like that day he broke the yoke of bondage off of your neck. When was the last time that you didn't say, God, I'm going to give you 10 minutes of prayer, but you didn't even set a timer. You turned the phone off and you set it to the side and you said, God, I'm coming to talk to you and I need you to talk to me and I just want to love on you and tell you how awesome you are and what you've done in my life. And God, if there's anything in me that should not be, God, I want you to take it away from me. Please do not let your comfortable, don't let that lead to a casual fan or a casual relationship. But remember, the same God that brought you out is still bringing you out. The same God that brought you out is still raising a standard so you don't go back. I'm not casual. You're not casual. We're not void of an intimate moment or an intimate relationship with God. Casual also defined means this: without commitment. Without commitment. And can I just encourage you with this statement? I was, Mandy and I were doing some premarital counseling with a great young couple in this church, one that was raised in our youth group, and it's exciting to see the full circle moment. And I just begin to share with them about commitment and share with them about what commitment really is. And one thing that I did not understand as a young man is I didn't understand the difference between God and ministry. Your number one allegiance and the number one love in your life should be God and God alone. Second is your family. Third is your church and ministry. Church and ministry are not the same with God, because if church and ministry were the same as God, you couldn't work a job, you couldn't go to school, we'd have church 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But the fact that you have a relationship with God is bigger than Living Way. Your relationship with God is bigger than any ministry that you serve in and volunteer in. And so when we talk about commitment, we're not talking about you signing a piece of paper and going through Living Way Launch. When we talk about commitment, when you said yes to Jesus, you made him your Savior, but for the rest of your life, God, I am committed to you. This is not casual. I'm in it. And I know that on a Wednesday night, it kind of seems ironic that I would be talking to you about this because you are the cream of the crop here on a Wednesday night. But I want to encourage you, if you are new to this thing called faith, if you are new to walking with Jesus, don't grow cold. Don't grow casual. Don't get comfortable. Say, God, I am here for everything you have. And I don't want to ever quit growing. I don't want to ever quit going. I don't want to ever quit following you. 2 Timothy 3:5, this is what Paul would remind a young Timothy, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. This was in our staff devotion this week, and I forgot what translation Mario shared it out of, but we go around and each one of us take a week, and he shared this, and I forgot exactly how it said that last part, but it was a lot firmer than have nothing to do with such people. Because you hear me say things like that, and you're saying, oh, Pastor, that's a little brash, and that's a little harsh. No, that's straight from the Word of God. God said, when you find out people have a form of godliness and they know about God, but they refuse to follow God, when they can quote scripture, but they don't exhibit the love of God, he said, have nothing to do with those people. Cut them off. Separate from them. So I want to encourage you to look in and around your life, because if you are going to be a follower of Jesus, not for a day, not for a moment, not for a season, but if you are going to follow Jesus all the way to heaven, you are going to have to make sure that you are not surrounded with people that look like God but live like someone else. Denying God's power, but they look like him, can even talk like him, but there's no power there. I got to quickly move on. Number six is the lover of the game fan. The lover of the game only follows a certain sport, but they know so much about that sport, they could write a blog so steeped in arcane details about players and coaches and games, and that the coaches would not even know what they're talking about half of the time. I know people that love football so much that it doesn't matter if it's the Cleveland Browns and the Houston Texans. They're going to watch football not because those are the two greatest teams, but because they love football. Can I encourage you? Can I warn you? Can I just let you know that there is a danger with falling in love with the wrong thing? There's a danger in getting your focus on the wrong thing. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What he says is just as powerful as what he's not saying, because what he's really saying is the moment you catch me not following Jesus, don't follow me no more, follow him. The moment that I stop following and become a casualty or a casual fan, he said, I want you to keep following. There's a danger in falling in love with the wrong thing. I know people who love church, but they don't love God. I know people who love marriage, but not their spouse. You say, I don't know if that's true. Prove it. Why do you think people get married three or four times? They love marriage. They just don't like who they're married to. Can I help somebody real quick? There's no such thing as falling out of love with someone. Because the moment you feel like you're falling out of love, you start doing the things that made you fall into love. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. Somebody tweet it. Somebody write it down. That's not on the wall. That's straight from heaven tonight. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. Love is saying, I know who you are. I know what you are. I know how I feel about you. And so I'm going to connect myself to you. It doesn't matter if your hair turns gray or it falls out. It doesn't matter if 105 pounds turns into 255 pounds. I love you. Not the figure of you. Not the pre-gravity you. I love you. I love you. Not a feeling. It's a decision. I know people who love music but hate worship. How can you be a believer and love music but not love to worship? I'm a music fiend. I love music. I listen to it all day long. I love worship music. I love country music. I'm still getting delivered, praise God. I love classic rock music. I love R&B music. I love all of that. So how could I come into this place and you hear that bass line and you hear Nate over here on the keyboard and you hear Brother White on the violin and then we start talking about Jesus, and then we start seeing heaven and feel heaven come down, and you've been bumping all week long to God knows what, but you come in the church and you want to stand there, you want to sit there, you want to cross your hands, you want to say, this is too much. No, it's not enough in my opinion. I'm like David. If you think this is a lot, you ain't seen nothing yet. I can't love music but not worship. I'm not falling in love with the wrong thing. How many of you know someone who likes to talk? You're looking at one right now. I know people who love to talk but hate to pray. They love the wrong thing. Look, you could gossip all you want. Why would you want to talk about someone else's problem? to someone that can't fix it when you could flap those same gums to God? And in faith, God can fix that problem. God can put back the pieces together. And then when God does work the miracle in their marriage, on their job, in their life, you can walk up to them and say, sis, I prayed for you. Other people were talking about you. I prayed for you. Brother, everybody else was throwing you under the bus, saying it wasn't going to happen. I just went to my prayer closet, called your name, her name, and the situation in faith, and God showed up. I know people that love to talk but hate to pray. I know people that love to read, but they don't read their Bible. Oh, Pastor, I don't like to read. Oh, don't say foolish things. You might not read books, but you read your phone all day. You say, I don't like to read. What are you doing on Instagram then? I know you ain't looking at pictures. You ain't 6 years old. You're reading posts. You like to read. Don't fall in love with the reading. See, I know people who read the Bible, but don't know the author. I love Jesus, and when I read his word, I understand John 1:1, that the word is Jesus, but when I read the word, I'm excited, Sister Chris, because I know the author personally. I know the one who wrote those words. I know that what he said he's going to do. I know that it's not pie in the sky, what he says he will do, and so I love to read, but oh, I love to read his word. I know people who love to volunteer at soup kitchens. I know people who love to volunteer at Habitat for Humanity, but they refuse to serve in the local church. I'm talking about church-going people. Shame on you if you serve and volunteer for nonprofits in San Antonio, but you're not serving at a local church. You say, well, it's the least I could do. Well, number one, that phrase, we should quit saying that. No one wants to hear it's the least I can do. No one wants us to admit that this is next to zero. And everything you do in a humanitarian effort, listen to what I'm going to say now as a pastor, everything you do in a humanitarian effort will fade and has zero eternal impact. But when you run a camera, that's kingdom. When you play an instrument, kingdom. When you run sound and media, kingdom. When you run a camera, kingdom. When you hold a door, kingdom. When you teach a kid, kingdom. When you hold a baby in the nursery, kingdom. When you park a car, kingdom. When you pass the offering plate, kingdom. When you volunteer up here on Saturday to run the inflatables, kingdom. It's kingdom. I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. I'm a follower because I am committed to the kingdom, to preaching kingdom, to serving kingdom, to advancing kingdom, to pushing kingdom. I'm not telling you not to be involved in humanitarian efforts. I'm telling you to put them in their proper place. Only eternal things, only the things of God are for eternity. I don't want to just be one of those that gives everything I can on this earth but does not make a spiritual impact. I know people who love to give but hate to tithe. You say, I don't love to give. Why is it that you give to Ford Credit, to CPS Energy, to Carnival Cruise Line, to Disney World? We give Starbucks, an anti-Christian company, if you drink a $5 coffee a day, that's $150 a week. I mean, a month, that's $150 a month. I just don't like to. No, you like to give, but you've fallen in love with the wrong thing. When I give, I want to make kingdom impact. I want to be a giving follower, not a fan that gives. I'm going to close with this. Jesus gives two defining statements on discipleship. John 13:35. This is when Jesus is actually prophesying of Peter's denial. Peter's there. This is the disciples there. And this is what Jesus says in verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Fans and followers, the first thing Jesus said that we can visibly identify is how you love one another. The love that you operate in every day. this is how we would say it in 2023. If you are a disciple, a disciplined follower, I will be able to tell how much you love one another or how much you act like me. Jesus said, I can tell you're a follower by how much you imitate what I do and who I am. Here's the second statement, John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. One translation says, if you love me, do what I say. So the first one is how you love each other shows that you are disciples. The second would be how you obey Jesus. I will be able to tell if you love me by your obedience to my word. So he said, how you love and how you obey. Both of those, church, are action and visible. We see a visible reaction and response. I'm a follower of Jesus, and so I am to love everyone. Actions speak louder than words. He said, if you love me, you will do. So you can't just say you love the world. You've got to show you love the world. You can't just say you love your neighbor. You've got to show the love to your neighbor. You can't just say I love my church more than a t-shirt. You've got to show how much you love the body of Christ. And then he said, the second visibility is in my word is full of so many great promises, but there are so many great commands that those promises are hinged to. So the second way that I will see if you are a real follower and not just a fan is I need to see you obey my word. You say, Pastor, what is how does that apply to me? You being here tonight, it shows that you obey his word. You say, how's that? Forsake not the assembly of yourselves, as some are doing. But do it even more so as you see the day approaching. By you being in church tonight, you have said, God, I am obedient to your word. Then some of you couldn't sit still during worship. You came down to the altar. I turned around a couple times, and there was people all the way to the back of this room with hands uplifted, eyes closed, people crying on their knees before God. That is a I love you showing statement, not just words, but with your life. There are some real followers of Jesus in the room. There are some real followers online tonight, because it's not a love by word, it is a love by action. It is not an obedience by, yeah, I'll get around to it, or yeah, it's a God every day. I'm going to follow you, and what your word says, that's good enough for me. Stand on your feet. Social media is a tricky place. These woke pastors are sending a lot of people straight to hell. They're getting people very comfortable with the idea that you can choose your gender, you can be stuck in sexual sin and sexual identity crisis, and that God loves you and accepts you. God loves you. Let me tell you, he does love you any way that you're. His love is unconditional. But his love will not allow you to stay. And he didn't die on the cross to ignore some of those things. He died on the cross so that when you and I were in violation to his word and we were disobedient to his word, he said, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to show you love, and you're going to reciprocate that love to me. And check this out. I see a lot of lost people saying, I love you, Jesus. I love God. That's what they say. I don't doubt that they love God, but I don't see any obedience to his word. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And those commandments are not just 10 found in the Old Testament. Those commandments are all throughout the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, in Galatians, and in Ephesians. And I'm here to encourage you. I always do this whenever I talk about the lifestyle of homosexuality. I always talk about those that are living a heterosexual life of fornication. You're hopping in bed with different people that you're not married to. You have a pornography and a lust problem. I want to encourage you in this house today, more than saying, I love Jesus. That's what a fan does. I love you, Jesus. We don't have to say it. We show it. Our actions speak way louder than our words. Say, have you said I love you to Jesus today? I don't know if I've actually said that phrase today, but when I got up and I started praying, that's obedience. He knows I love him. When I talk about the goodness of God, which every day I'm thinking, God, I'm saying, God, you are an awesome God. There is no one like you. This morning when those storm clouds were rolling over my ranch, God, thank you so much for the rain, God. It's been a great spring. Look at your creation. The sun has risen again today. God, you didn't have to wake me up, but here I am. Here I'm praising him. I'm spending time with him. Here I am at church today. Now I should say, God, I love you, Jesus. There's no, I love you, Jesus. But my actions, my obedience, your actions, not a fan, not casual, intimate, not casual, intimate, not a lover of the wrong thing. Don't get it twisted. The reason you love Living Way is not because of Living Way. The reason you love Living Way is not because of me. The reason you love Living Way is because of the Spirit of God you feel in this house. The reason you love Living Way is because God did something that only God can do while you were on this campus. And I am here to tell you, when I say I love my church, it's not that I love the building. It is, God, I love the body of Christ. I love you. I love what you're doing here. I love that I'm a part of it. I'm not a casual fan. I'm a follower. As this altar's filling up, it's filling up with followers. We'll get there next week. A little more about following. God, I'm a follower, not a fan. I'm not here when everything's good, and then I duck you when everything's bad, or vice versa. I'm not showing up when I need something, and then when everything's good, I don't. I'm a follower. I'm a follower. One of my favorite pastors here in Texas, he made a video a couple years ago, and he played it the day after Easter. He said, pastors, he said, don't be discouraged. He said, next Sunday, your buildings will not be full anymore. This was for the Sunday after Easter. He said, they're not going to be full anymore. He said, the balconies will be shut down and empty again. Don't worry about that. He said, those are the fans. But he said, let me encourage you that next Sunday, the followers of Jesus Christ will show back up. The ones that are in relationship, they'll be there. There'll be some ones that are in need of a miracle. They'll be there. There's some that have just started their walk with God. They'll be there. There's some that are thirsty and hungering after righteousness. They'll be there. And for those of you in this altar tonight, I want to encourage you. Fandom might have made you hear about Jesus, but it's your following of Jesus that allows you to experience and encounter him today. And my prayer is that on a Wednesday night pre-Easter, in the middle of Holy Week, my prayer is that the following and the encounter with God that you've been longing for, I believe that it is starting right now. I believe you've been asking God for a sign or a word. Can I just tell you right now that I believe God is going to speak clearly to you in this altar about you, about your situation, about your loved one, about that request, about that thing that's been on your mind. Can I encourage you that an encounter with God will change everything? An encounter will change you from a fan to a follower. In this room, there are former fans turned followers. We could tell you about Jesus, but now we know Jesus. We could quote a couple scriptures, but now we live those scriptures. We could tell you about the church, but now we are the church. Not fans, but followers. If you're in this altar, I'm going to ask our altar team to go ahead and start laying hands, start speaking life. I believe resurrection is not reserved for Sunday. It is all in this house right now because the Holy Spirit is in this house. Lord, I pray that resurrection would happen in this room, in these your people, from the youngest to the eldest, whatever situation it is. If they're sick, let them be healed and whole. If they're bound, let them be delivered. If they're confused, bring clarity and oneness to them, God. Lord, whatever the situation is, I pray right now that you would move in and on them today. If you're watching online, lift both hands if you need God to move and speak. I believe that you might have started as a fan. You might have been able
able to tell us something, but today you are going to encounter the Holy Spirit. You're going to encounter Jesus Christ today. Wherever you're watching from, I believe he's coming too. If you're in this house tonight, you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. If you've never said yes to Jesus as Savior, this is your moment.